Hey, welcome to my daily update video. Hey, in a moment, I'm going to jump into part four of my little mini series all about spiritual authority. I'm coming to you live today from Belfast, Northern Ireland. It is pouring with rain here. I'm in one of my favorite cafes and talking about Jesus. So, good. Before we do that, as usual, let me take 30 seconds for a quick update. Lots of travel, lots of ministry this month. I'm in Europe, I'm in America, obviously. I'm going to be in Canada later in the month. Do check out that out at gjm.org. If you're not yet getting our email newsletter, I'd love to have you getting that. We have a free gift, a free copy of my book, actually, at the moment, to everybody who signs up for one of our email newsletters. So link below for that. And lastly, I want to say a big thanks to all of my partners as well. Partners are those who commit to pray for us, who support us financially, who partner with us in the ministry, the missions the Lord has called us to. So big shout out to you. We thank you and we appreciate you. If you're not yet a partner, want to pray about becoming one, link below. Again, boom. Was that 30 seconds? So I've been in on the island of Ireland, north and south, for about 10 days now. Today's my last day in Ireland. Again, I'm in the city of Belfast. What am I doing today? I'm going to do some shopping for some things to take back to the US. I'm going to buy a ridiculous amount of Irish tea. And going to have a nice meal out somewhere and sit in a cafe watching the rain and the world go by and do lots of work. So good to have you here with me. Come on, let's jump into this. So we've been talking for a few days now all about spiritual authority. Jesus said in Matthew 28, I believe it's verse 18, he said, "All power and all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and in earth." And then he said, "Go therefore." Yeah. I said the other day, Kenneth Hagin used to say, when you see the word therefore, find out what it's there for. And when Jesus is saying, "Go therefore," he's saying, because all power has been given unto me, because all authority has been given unto me, you go and you do these things. And it's interesting, he commissioned the disciples to proclaim the gospel, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he said, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. You know, there is a heretical false doctrine out there called cessationism. The idea that it was only the original 11 apostles that moved in the power of God, that God's power was only manifest for, you know, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, and when the last apostle died, all the power died away. There's nothing in the Bible that says that, not one thing. And to the contrary, Jesus told the disciples, everything I commanded you, you command other people to do the same thing, because that same power, that same authority has been given to us. And what I want to do with you briefly today is I want to get you thinking about a life of spiritual authority. What does it mean to not occasionally think about that and sort of switch it on like some gimmick, but what does it actually mean to live out a life of spiritual authority? What does it mean to be the head and not the tail, to be above only and not beneath? What does it mean to live life in such a way that everywhere we go, Satan is under our feet? And I want to give you about three keys to doing that. Number one, we've really got to embed and establish our heart in that truth. I'll be honest, I've done this for so long that when I get around a lot of Christians, and frankly at times this can be the majority of Christians, I have like a I'm like a pinball machine on tilt. I have this heart. How can you believe such things? Because I know so many Christians who doctrinally they believe God is bigger than Satan. And yet when you actually get around them, when they're speaking Matthew 12, 34 from the abundance of their heart, at a very practical level they actually seem to believe that Satan is bigger than God. And they can't go to this place and they can't go to that place. And it's like they're more impressed with Satan than they are God. And they're afraid of catching this and afraid of doing that. And I want you to see a vision of this. God wants the world around us subject to us. The creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, obviously, there's an eschatological sense in which when Jesus returns, when the worlds are made anew, that creation will see the fullness of the manifestation of the sons. But right now, 1 John 3 verse 2 says, "Now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. Does not yet fully appear what we shall be, but now are we the sons of God. And I tell you, the world is waiting for the children of God to grow up. The world is waiting for the children of God to be manifest. Now, in the 1940s, there was a rather weird group that teaches some weird things called the Manifest Sons of God. And, you know, I don't know really anything about them, not part of that, don't believe in that. But that passage is actually scripture. God wants to manifest himself through his sons and daughters. And he's given us his authority. And it is a tragedy when we don't live that. So we need to know about that authority. Secondly, we need to implement that authority. We need to use that authority. Just because you have authority does not mean things will automatically happen to you. You need to tell Satan to take his hands off your children. Tell Satan to take his hands off your money. Tell Satan to take his hands off your body. Tell Satan to take his hands off the environment in which you live. You know, as I said in yesterday's video, I can't banish every demonic power in America just like that. But what I can do is banish him from my environment, from my life, from my home. And everywhere I go, I bring my kingdom with me. If you think about it, we talk about the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? You know, people have all these weird ethereal ideas of the kingdom of God. Really, the kingdom of God is literally like the king's dome, in the French word basilia. It means the domain where the king is in authority. Imagine a dome, if you will, imagine an area, and in that area, the king of kings is in complete and utter authority. Anywhere Jesus is king, the kingdom of God is. Jesus said in the Gospels, if I by the Spirit of God drive out demons, if I heal the sick, then the kingdom of God just came upon you. And everywhere we go, we bring our kingdom with us. Everywhere we go, we bring the influence and the power and the authority of the kingdom of God. Hey, last little key that will help you in this as well, in terms of developing a lifestyle there, is realizing how the kingdom of God is released. Now, I think the centurion gave us a real key in Matthew 8, where he said, I'm a man who understands authority. I'm under authority, and I have people under me. And then the centurion said to Jesus, somebody tells me to go, and I go. Somebody tells me to come, and I come. I tell somebody to go, they go. I tell somebody to come, they come. And authority is released through words. And so again, authority is released primarily, more than any other way, through words. When we actually speak words, we release authority in the positive and the negative. I remember hearing about a missionary to Mexico, and he was driving from somewhere in Texas into Mexico, you know, long, long drive, maybe 15-hour drive, and he arrives with his wife somewhere in Mexico City, and they're tired, and they're worn out, and, you know, just meeting some friends in a restaurant, just want to get there in effect, and as they're getting out to get into the restaurant, he turns to his wife and said, hey, you left your purse, your pocketbook on the seat, and he's like, this is Mexico, we don't do that in Mexico. And his wife just turns to him, and you know, she's tired, obviously, and she says in this certain tone of voice, I do not want it. And you know, he said, okay, left, closed the door, locked the car. When he came out, the car had been smashed and somebody had taken the purse. But what I want you to see is when she actually said, I do not want it, she was releasing something there spiritually. And when we go around saying, nobody wants to hear about Jesus when I witness to them, when we go around saying, this is a difficult area, pastors, I've had pastors literally say, people in my church don't give. You know, you're releasing spiritual authority there. And we have authority with words, and Satan will work within the confines of the words that we speak. So I want to encourage you, begin declaring your authority. Begin declaring, nothing can by any means hurt me. Every time I walk on a plane, you know, when you walk down the little gangway, and I'll declare, you know, no evil befalls me, no plague comes nigh my dwelling. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will declare that even if the wings fall off the plane, I'm not going down, I'm going over. Declare things over your life, and with the words of your life, you set the parameters of the authority, the permissions, if you will, that you have in your life. So, know about authority, number one. Exercise your authority, number two. Let's not be lazy. Let's not be passive. Let's take that authority. And number three, boldly declare that with words. It's not our job to enforce the authority of heaven. It's our job to exercise the authority of heaven. And all of the armies of heaven will stand behind and enforce that when we do that. Boom. Bless you guys. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to be back with, I'm going to do 5 questions, Q&A session, all about spiritual authority. So looking forward to that. Again, thanks for being here with this video. Thanks to all the new subscribers to our channel. Do hit the subscribe button down there. And I'd love to see you soon in the plan of God. Bye for now.